His kingdom kids going on? Okay. So the children can leave the, go to their upper room. Well, I'm your guest speaker this morning. My name is Kevin Bibby. I come from 3 miles away from the building, ready to speak to some good people. I'm going to try to tie a little bit of a thankfulness into the lesson part, but I can't thank you enough. I wish you could put a size on the word thank you. Prayer is very powerful and is very comforting. And when it's felt, a body's presence doesn't have to be there, but you can feel the prayers of people because the hand of God responds to the prayers of his people, and he moves. I'm going to kind of divert a little bit, instead of just picking up where we left off. There's a lot that's happened over the last 4 weeks that has been good. There's a lot of lives noticed that you just wonder about. During the time of the critical time with Megan, and for our guests here today, my daughter had a real bad case of the pneumonia again, not caused by flu this time, but in her physical situation, it's hard for her because she doesn't understand a cough. She doesn't understand to breathe in, breathe out, and take instructions that would help your body to heal. And so it puts her at a higher risk. Some of the things I want to share with you today is just hopefully will just get us to come back to a realization of what life and how important it is. And how that every day is a gift given to you. And we can make the most of every day. It's amazing how regular routine and regular life and schedules kind of get to the point to numb you of how important life is. We have so many brothers and sisters that have dealt with physical situations, but their faith just continues to have them not turn against God, but to lean on God that much more. And even when they are tempted to grumble and complain, they have the forgiveness of God to be able to go to say, I'm sorry for that, I'm very thankful for what you've given to me. Seeing people in the waiting room at 3 a.m, and walking past people in the ICU, and I had to watch it though, because I just wanted to observe what was happening. And I would walk down the hallway. You get a little strange looks at nurses and doctors while you're doing that. But I just would peek in and see people on ventilator after ventilator after ventilator, struggling, and needing some assistance. And it just helps me to reflect on my life and hopefully what I can just share with you briefly this morning will help you reflect on yours. That there's questions I wonder that might have been happening. I had one family that was in the waiting room, and I'd noticed that, family was in and out, and they had just like droves of people there. And one older gentleman that would just sit off to the side with his head down and lowered. And it seemed as if they weren't even talking to him. The family was just talking to each other. And so I went over to the man and sat down beside him. And I said, I just want to let you know, I don't know what's happening in your family, but I want you to know that I want to pray for you. And he said, well, thank you, because it's my wife that's here. And we've been married for 63 years. And talking about how they were struggling with the decision of putting her on the ventilator to help her. Or do we let her go? And I just sat there and just thought to myself, what an agonizing type of decision that you'd have to sit there. That would wear me out. And yet, I just wondered where they were with God. Because no matter what happened, no matter what decision, no matter what situation that they're in, the thing that mattered most to that family was where she was with God. Thankfully, he opened up and he did say, she is a believer and she loves God deeply. And so with that, the only words that I could think of is just saying, no matter what happens, she's fine. She's fine. And then when I walked around the ICU, I just thought, I wonder how many people and families can feel that. And it's not because of what brand of church they go to, it's because of the power of the belief in who controls life. So I wondered three questions about life. Over the last 3 weeks, I just jotted down these notes, just tried to observe what was happening. And I didn't get to go to the PICU like I would normally like to go to, but it's hard. It's hard seeing children. It's hard seeing children suffer. I wonder if we ever get to the point where we ask ourselves again, where did we come from? If you take back 60 years, 60 years is not a long time. But 60 years, I didn't exist. And you just look at it and you say, well, where did I come from? Why am I made? Why would God make me? So where did that come from? Well, we learn it from Scripture. Here's in your notes, since we don't have the screen up on top, but here's in your notes. The question would be this: where did I come from? And then there's some passages that give some answers. Well, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. He took something that was just dust and put life into it. Okay, now, what's so amazing is that as you watch somebody that you care for grasp for one more breath. It's just hard to watch. It's agonizing to watch. You want to be able to take a breath for them. And it wears you down. And then you start to think how important breathing is. And how we get up and we function on a day-to-day basis and your brain doesn't really remind yourself of each other, like, you need to take a breath. You just take a breath. But God's the one that gives breath and creates life in something that would be nothing without it. In Psalm chapter 8, verses 3 through 9, just hear these words. The writer says here, when I consider your heavens, God, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings, that you even care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands, and you put everything under their feet, all the flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds of the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. It's almost as if every breath you take should remind you of the majesty of God. Every breath is given to you by God as a gift. If we would just look at how enormous the creation of our universe is, it can help us to wonder how God would be even concerned about me. And yet he is. But to respect God's majesty, I need to compare myself to him, and then I feel real small. There's so many times in the hospital watching Megan, you wanted to do something for her and could not do it. You didn't know what to do. And one great thing that the only thing that I knew that Cammie and I could do is, as parents, our role and our responsibility is to give her the care that she needs. God is calling on us to use our hands and our hearts to love. My biggest fear, the tears that rolled down my eyes while we were at Catawba when a doctor come in and said, this could be it. Most children that's in Megan's condition do not live as long as she lives. This could be the time. The only thing that I could remember is that I just did not want her to be scared. I wanted her to know how deeply she's loved. And with that, it just seemed like all the provision. Yes, it's not fun to watch somebody on a ventilator. Praise God for a ventilator. It helped her body rest. It helped her when she needed help. But when I think about how enormous God is, it's good for me to feel small. But God doesn't want me to dwell on how small I am compared to him. He just wants me to dwell on how majestic he is. Because that gives me hope, that strengthens my faith. And when you, anybody in here, when you feel like you're worthless, well, remember God's worthiness Because God's character goes into the creation of every human being. He says it described in 139 of the same book in Psalm. For you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. That's where I came from. God breathed his image into each and every one of us. Number two question would be, then why am I here? Now I know where I came from. Breath has been given to me by God. Why do I even still exist? You know, I have a lot of elderly people ask me, especially when you get up into your 80s, into your low 90s, and they start feeling like they're becoming a burden on their children. They really do. And I get asked a lot by them, why do you think God's even keeping me around? I said, well, to serve him. And they said, well, we can't get involved in the church functions as like I used to. My body is saying, I said, I'm not talking about the institutionalized church. I'm talking about how useful you can be as a human being for God. And really, the only thing that I know that I can do to bring encouragement to all of us is when we need to be served and somebody is serving us, you're helping other people to become like Jesus Christ. You're giving them the opportunity to serve. And that's what God says is greatness. And that's what I'm here. That's why you and I are still breathing. I believe we are instructed in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16 to let our light shine before men so that may they see the good deeds that we're doing, but then bring it's all about who is truly the light. Who's the one that breathed the light in you? God. So when you're out serving, who has taught you and who has called you to serve? God. So other people will benefit by them serving you. I know Lisa heard me around the corner when John and I was talking about, you know, we just wonder about the future of our pantry. We wonder about getting more people involved. Numbers were up this past Tuesday, right, Lisa? Like back up into the 60s, families in one evening being served and how we could. And I keep thinking about this is a wonderful training ground for people to learn to be like Jesus. And if you have the time or if you need for us to switch the time, we've even talked about considering switching the time so more people would have the opportunity to be like Jesus. Maybe there would be a time we could have a Bible study with somebody to the point to where they become a Christian over it. But it's not about what we do. It's about what God is doing through us because he gives us life. He gives us breath. And we're here to let our light shine before men so he can get the praise. So that he can get the honor. And I tell you, it's been a hard chiseling on me. Because I always wonder, how do we get our church to be attractive to other people? I'm going to be quite honest with you, we're losing some people. For different reasons. Some are merited and some are understandable. But we've lost some people to different things. But I tell you one thing. I want to be a church. I want us to be a church that if you want to become more like Jesus, we got a place for you to serve. It's not about you getting served, it's about you getting involved in serving. That's what we're here for. And so, if you want to become more like Jesus, come and serve with us. I would like for us as a church to be determined to be known in our community for the way that we love one another. Because when they ask, why would you love another person that's not in your physical family, but is in a church family, that's kind of unusual. Why do you love them that way? We can say to them, Jesus asked us to love each other as he loved me. And that's what I'm doing. And love for you to be a part of it. That's why we want to be together. That's why we need the desire to reach out and invite. Expose people to the love of Christ that is being developed in each and every one of us. And then maybe that could be a way to attract people. I know a lot of this world is attracted to God by different ways. Some are formulas, some are methods. Methods come and go. But something that is solid, we hope by showing the love of Jesus through us, that will attract people. That's why we should not devour each other. That's why we should not cut down each other. That's why we should not nitpick at each other. That's why we should not. We should look at something to encourage in each one another and build one another up, because when love is shown to this lost world that's craving for it, they're going to wonder, how can I be a part of that? I don't know if God wants me. Well, then come and be with us because we want you. So it doesn't matter. We want to sing. David leads us in singing. Kevin leads us in singing. Dylan leads us in singing. It doesn't matter who leads us in singing, but to the point to where we come together, we're going to beller to the point. You know what? I watched this. This is what's cool. I stood right there, and I was just wondering. I thought, wow, you know, the singing sounds really good this morning. Maybe it's because I got my hearing aids fixed, but I watched this thing. Now it's turned colder. I didn't like that. It was at 72 degrees, and in two songs, you raised it to 75. Now the preaching's starting, and it's down to 73. Now we need to heat it back up when we're preaching, right? Need a little bit more speaking back, a little bit moving around, okay? Oh, that's what we're here for. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 10. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourself, it's a gift of God. Not by works so that you can boast, for we are God's handiwork. We're created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God's already prepared in advance for us to do. So why do we serve? Why do we want to come and serve? Why do we want to be involved in what's going on? Well, we want to because in Christ Jesus, since he loved us, we want to love him. He says, well, just keep my commandments, okay? Then go out and love other people. Let's go out and love together. Let's find creative ways to do that. Not because we're going to boast about how great a certain church is. If we start boasting about ourselves, I tell you one thing, we will die spiritually. If we start boasting about us. But if everything's about how God is so great and so wonderful, and we're here given a gift to be used by him, that we learn how to love one another, and then we understand that this gift comes from God. He's already created for us what to do. Go serve. Go serve. And you're serving. You served Cammie and I so well. When I heard, like, Texas, I'm so sorry, texting, the text is like, would be, I'm sorry I can't get to you. Well, we understand. I mean, Winston-Salem is not just an easy skip and a jump. And we understand that. And then in some ways, we don't want you to be exposed to the flu, because I tell you, the flu was everywhere. And we understand it, but we hear it in prayers and contact and concern and the meals and the gifts. We're one family. We have several families. Let's love each other at the same level. At the same level. Don't raise us above anybody else. Don't raise us below anybody else. Every single person that's a part of this church family is desired by God to love. And that's why we're here. But for some of us, I want at least to be reminded of this. I believe it's in Hebrews. I don't have the exact thing. Maybe you can search for it before you leave or text me later. But I know God wants to use the cross to get our attention. He really does. He wants the cross to show his love. He wants the resurrection to show his power and his majesty. So, but for some people, it's going to take hell to get them to notice. Now, as I'm not talking for these, what you would call, point your fingers, you're going straight there, kind of happy that you are because your life is worthless. That's not the gospel. The gospel says is God wants to give you eternal life. And every person that was in the ICU, as well, I walked down and looked and peeked in every door, every person that's on that respirator. See, one of the things I reminded, Joe Beam said this, and it still brings comfort to me, is that even if Megan had died during this time, or even 6 years ago during that time, Megan is so innocent, so pure, has no sin, and she goes straight to God. I don't know how other parents can't be envious of that. And yet some people have pity on us over our children. And I'm like, Megan's going straight to heaven. I still want to take care of her. But I wonder if there is confidence walking down that hall. Is that, do they feel comfort in where they're going? I know that there's a lot of teachings going on about what we would call, eventually God's love will cover over any kind of description of separation, and that God's even going to overlook anybody who did not believe in him or follow him or desire and go ahead and grant everybody heaven. That's a pretty popular teaching, because I think the reason why that's so popular is because I don't have to sacrifice anything. I don't have to serve anybody, and I still get heaven. And it should be no thought in a Christian's mind, a Christ follower's mind, of how little can I do and still get there. That should never enter our heart. Because as David said, we can't do enough to pay God back. There's just no way. So out of his grace, out of his mercy, I offer myself as a living sacrifice, because we have a destination. We haven't reached yet. And we want to bring other people with us. In Matthew chapter 7, it says this, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many will enter that one. But small is the gate, narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few will find that." Matthew 25 describes the coming back of our Lord, and he says, and this is what I'm going to end with, he says that this is how it's going to be when I return. Starting in verse 31 of Matthew chapter 25, it says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and get this, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you even came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer, kind of like, 'When do we do that for you? Now we would do it for you, God, but these people out here, I'll do it for you, but these people, when did we do it for you? When did we see the stranger and invite him in? When did we clothe those who needed clothing? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you?' Then the king replies, 'Whatever you did for one of the least of these, brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" Wow. "Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil. For I was hungry, you gave nothing. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing. I was a stranger and you didn't even invite me in. I needed some clothes and you didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you didn't even look after me.' They'll answer the same way, 'When did we see you that way?' And he will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me.' Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." Choose wisely which life you want to live. "Love lifted me" is our song. That's the only thing that's going to lift us away from a day that may be our day someday. That one day on November 1st at 12:45 a.m. of the year 1963 was when God took my body from my mother and breathed in me the breath of life. Breathed in me as he created me in my mother's womb, his image. I'm living the slash, and I don't know the date. But But be thankful, brothers and sisters, right now for the gift of breathing. Go out and live what he made you for. And love. Love people who love him and love people who don't know him. And then all of us will be together in eternal life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity. This is an opportunity today to head in the right direction. I need so many wake-up calls. And you continue to pursue after me even though I slow down. Or I get my eyes focused on the wrong thing. I get my heart focused on the wrong thing. I allow bitterness. I become angry. I get frustrated. I get all these things that keeps me from the abundant life that you want me to have just by knowing that every breath that I take is a gift from you. And Father, when our breaths are ceased, we have to look forward to eternal life. But Father, we're right now living out what we're here for. And whatever's getting in the way, I pray that people will respond while we sing and let love, your love, lift them up. I pray that it could be a recommitment today, a rededication today, and maybe even a baptism today. I would love to have a heart that says, I'm ready to follow Jesus. Please, I cannot leave this place without making that decision. Baptize me into the life of Jesus so that I can begin and be born of him for my future. We don't want this out of a response. Our works are not for us to brag about. But we work out of a thank you and respect for your grace and your mercy. And we love you for desiring to give it to us. Because love has lifted us. And it's through Jesus we pray and say together.